Welcome to another week of Trojan Preview. Ace Lucas with the Atlantic Trojans head football coach Joe Brummer, coming off a 56-21 homecoming victory against Knoxville last Friday. Coach, congratulations on the win. Congratulations on being 5-1. And congratulations on being here for another week. We're happy to have you.
Appreciate it. Hey, thanks for coming in.
So tell me, just coming off a homecoming, at times there's a lot of noise, a lot of distractions, coach. And in your opinion, how would you describe the atmosphere last Friday?
I thought the kids handled it well. We came out in the first two drives and scored two touchdowns. So, with the parade, with the coronation, with all the extra stuff, we hammered on it all week that, like, it's extra. Like, you know, it's great. It's fun. Like, we're super happy to have all these people back. But, the game's the most important thing. So, you can have all this stuff and it's good, great, and awesome. But if you don't win the game, then it really doesn't matter. So I thought the kids handled it well. I thought we did a really good job staying focused. They were locked in, and they executed really well. We had a lot of good plays, a lot of big plays that I thought our offensive line executed really well to get our athletes out in space. So overall, I thought it was a really good week of prep and a really good week of making sure that we're focused on what we need to be focused on.
That was one thing I did want to bring up with you is big plays. That seems like a big factor of this year's team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. During that game, you saw, and we'll start with Brock Goodrich. Back-to-back weeks now he's had, or in the past 3 weeks, he's had some pretty big explosive plays. And tell me, or what have you seen with his development to make him be so physical and so quick on these explosive plays?
Yeah, we're just getting the ball. We were trying to find the first couple of weeks ways to get him involved, ways to get him the ball to the best that we could. Brock's an athlete. He's an explosive kid. He's a really good blocker downfield for us. He's a great tight end that we were just trying to find a couple ways to try to spread the ball out a little bit more and utilize all of our weapons. We put some stuff in for Brock, for Darrow. That long touchdown pass beginning of the game to Xavier was something that we had worked on that week. Just trying to make sure that we're not one-dimensional with getting Tyson the ball, even though it's effective. Tyson does a really good job. But over a long 3A season, he's going to wear down, and overall, if we have the athletes, we want to get him the ball. I thought we did a lot better job this week of kind of spreading the love a little bit, sharing some things. Ethan McNeil had a touchdown, Gavin had a touchdown, Brock had one, Xavier had one that, that way you just can't key on one guy the whole time. I thought we did a really good job as a coaching staff of coming together and trying to decide how we're going to get Brock the ball and Brock involved more in the offense. I thought it paid off really well.
And offensively, it's great to see middle of the season that the team is not slowing down. There still seems to be a lot of energy, and for the most part, players are staying healthy. And what's the difference between scoring on a methodical drive and then when you have big explosive plays from your guys? What have you noticed energy-wise? What does it do?
Yeah, the energy enthusiasm definitely goes up on those big plays. The kids are excited. On some of those runs, you can tell once we get to the edge or once we get a key block that the kids know on the sideline, the kids know in the game that, it's a big play. So that definitely is a big morale booster. I think it helps the defense sometimes to have a longer drive, give them more rest, give those guys a break. If you're just one play and done every time, it kind of wears on the defense that they're out there the whole game. So it's trying to find that right balance, but no one's ever going to not want a touchdown. No one's not going to take that. But overall, finding that balance and doing a good job of, carrying that momentum and energy into those next plays, that it's kind of fun to try to find a balance and, be able to do both.
In the latter half of the season, who would you say has really developed and matured as a player on the team?
I think we got a lot of guys that have done that. We have a lot of young guys on the defensive side that have really came into their own. Grant Petty, Carter Hadley, Hunter Nelson, all young guys that are getting good experience. That's a good question.
We have plenty of time here. If you want to go 30 minutes, we can go.
I was figuring some of those guys are kind of really coming into their own. Probably Tristan Hayes has probably developed the most. Switching back to quarterback for us, from getting a lot of reps at wide receiver, finally starting to throw the ball a lot better, get some guys out in space. It just opens up a whole other dynamic to the offense that he's understanding. It doesn't have to be a 40, 50-yard throw to get a 40, 50-yard completion. About getting our guys in space, we ran a little out route with Gavin that turned in a 2-yard catch, turned into a 34-yard touchdown, that I think he's probably grown and matured the most out of these guys on and off the field. That is really great to see him come into his own. Overall, I think he's probably had the most growth from the start of the year until now.
winning affects culture, and especially on the practice side when you're getting ready for the week. What difference have you noticed with the practices and the temperament of them from this year compared to last year?
Yeah, you know, we've switched up practice, the way that we do things. You know, we don't really play anybody both ways. We try to avoid it as much as we can, trying to keep those guys fresh. And we figured the more reps at one thing is going to make you better overall than trying to split them in half. So we're kind of fortunate enough. We have enough guys this year, even with some injuries here and there, that we can still, for the most part, platoon our offense and defense. And that's made a big difference in practice. And, you know, the kids were kind of skeptical at first, because good luck telling a 15, 16-year-old that played both ways last year, like, hey, I only need you half the time this year, that they're a little skeptical because everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to do it. Everybody wants to be a part of some stuff. But overall, they did a really good job of buying in, and winning helps. You know, when you win, like, they're going to see it better from your perspective. But overall, even with the loss, I thought against Winterset, the kids bounced back, and there wasn't any gripes of, like, well, if I was doing this, if I was doing that. That overall, I think they've really bought in. They like winning. It's a fun thing to do, which is kind of ironic, but it's just something you got to get used to with. We haven't had a ton of wins. In the years past, we've had some good teams that are kind of 500, or I always kind of seems to stub our toe here and there, but overall I think we've got off to a really good start, and I think it starts, like you said, in practice with being positive and an upbeat morale and doing some things a little differently than instead of we've always done it this way.
And through six games so far, what have you liked from your leadership and from your captains on the team?
Yeah, those guys are doing great. You know, Xavier Darro is a great example of a tight end that gets like 5-6 catches. He could be more selfish. He could be like, well, I want the ball. I want this. And he's accepted his role, that we try to give him the ball as much as we can, and he understands that. And we like to run the ball behind him. So, you know, it's not a glamorous job, but it's something that, you know, he takes pride in. And same thing with, like, Reed Woodyard at tackle. They don't get the spotlight. They don't get the notoriety. Most of the time, the only time you see the offensive line is if they mess up on a false start or a hold or something like that, or they got to block better. So those two really unselfish guys that have done a great job of accepting that role, knowing their jobs, and then making sure everybody else is falling in line with, you know, this is the way that we do things. This is the way that things are going to go. And they do a great job of, you know, making sure that the standard is what it is. You know, Tyson accepting the role of, I'm not going to play defense this year, just going to play offense primarily. You know, accepting that role, you know, switching that way. I mean, it's not as hard when you're getting the ball a lot, but it's very unselfish of him as well that he's done a great job. Kenick Jewell battling through adversity with his broken hand that he had earlier in the year. He could have been done for a longer period of time, braced it up, casted it up, that he's good to go. That just speaks volumes of his toughness and his ability to lead on defense, that everything goes through him. You know, all the calls, all the checks, that he does a fantastic job making sure everybody's lined properly and on the same page. And, you know, just those four have done a fantastic job. And then, you know, Jarrett Hansen, that we've switched halfway through. You know, he was at wide receiver. He's our leading wide receiver, catching yards. And then we had a couple injuries. And the next thing you know, hey, we need you at corner. And there wasn't a complaint. There wasn't a, can I do both? There wasn't, hey, I should still get the ball. It's, okay, I'll go do that. And he's accepted that role. I think he now is leading the team in picks, too, that he's tied with that, that he has a lot of tackles last game. They tried to pick on him, and he did a fantastic job of guarding their best wide receiver and kind of limiting Higginbotham there. For the most part, you can't stop the kid. You just got to limit what he can do. And I thought we did a great job of that. And overall, those guys have really accepted their roles and done a fantastic job of just being leaders and, you know, team players instead of me guys.
Really sounds like this team has matured and developed, and that's what you're going to need for a 1-4 Creston team. As we've talked about before, you can't trust that record at all. That can be very misleading. You're going on the road facing Creston as an away game, but what are your thoughts? What have you noticed about the Panthers on film?
Yeah, you know, like you said, the 1-4 is extremely misdeceiving because they probably have the toughest schedule in the state. You know, you're playing Lewis Central, you're playing Winterset, Carroll Public, and Ballard as your four non-district games is a gauntlet. That's three phenomenal 4A teams, and then a 4-1 Carroll Public team that's poised to make a playoff run. So, you know, the record is thrown out the window, especially because it's a rivalry game. You know, it's kind of developed into some things with some wins and losses over different sports, this and that, that it's just like any other rivalry, that the records go out the window and it's who's better at 7 o'clock on Friday type of thing, that Overall, they're fast. You know, Weston Trapp is good at running back, at quarterback. They put him out at wide receiver. They move him all over the place with Coach Carter's offense. That they do a really good job of, you know, deceiving you with your eyes, trying to do all this shift and motion and trying to get their best guys the ball in space with you in the wrong spot. So they do a really good job with that. They're starting to click. They're coming off a big win against Harlan that they put up 43 points, which against the Harlan defense is almost unheard of. That those guys are doing really well, that are finally starting to click at the right time for them. And we got to make sure that you're not sleepwalking into Creston on homecoming with a 1-4 team, that they're a lot better than their record shows. It's homecoming week for them, that no one wants to lose that extra motivation. And then, you know, it's just one of those things that it's a very dangerous football team that's going to be a really tough matchup for us.
So what's the best way to make sure your team is not sleepwalking and you can keep that intensity dialed up?
You know, it's just the constant reminders and staying on them this week. I don't think we're going to have to motivate very much this game. It's kind of one of those things that Creston's a good team. They beat us up last year. We won against them the year before. They beat us pretty bad the week previous year. That it's kind of one of those back and forth type of things that, you know, other sports carry over. Wrestling's a big rivalry. You know, basketball, they're not fond of each other. That I don't think there's too much of a motivation between our kids and their kids to sell this game as being a one you have to, you know, get motivated for. I think we're going to be pretty locked in and ready to go, and kind of can't say it enough that the record doesn't matter. That 1-4 is not a true reflection of how good this team is.
And what would you like to see the Trojans execute well on Friday?
It's going to be won and lost up front. You know, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier with wrestling, that they have big physical kids that use their hands. They're all wrestlers. They're all good athletes. That they want to stick in a 3-4, that if we can block, you know, their three guys up front, good things are going to happen. That we really need to control the line of scrimmage this week. And if that doesn't happen, then we're not going to win the game.
And that's the Atlantic Trojans head football coach Joe Brummer joining us here on Trojan Preview. Coach, thank you very much and good luck on Friday.
Appreciate it. Thank you.